It's over 10 centuries ago that King Canute stood against the tide. Now, many people have felt, and history records, that it was an example of his hubris. But I think King Canute was actually very, very smart. He was saying that even a king cannot influence the tides. But one US performance artist has embraced a relationship with the tides to create a series of works called 36.5, a durational performance with the sea. She has done 11 of these works in countries across the world, and now on March 29, in New Zealand, she will be performing the 12th, and she's on the phone from New Zealand. Sarah Cameron Sunday, thanks very much for speaking to Arts Alive.
Yeah, no problem. I actually have only done it 7 times so far. This one will be the 8th work in the series.
I see.
I just wanted to clarify that.
I have been reading your publicity the wrong way around then. Tell us about the origins of the work that you're doing. And by doing that, I think we'll manage to describe what an extraordinary piece it is.
Yeah, no problem. So the project began in 2013. And it really came out of, it was my response to Hurricane Sandy hitting New York City, which happened in, and all of the East Coast of the United States, in 2012. And I just, that hurricane was an extreme weather event that really decimated a lot of my home city, and there were over 50 square miles of New York were underwater, and $19 billion of damage in a single night, $60 billion over the long term.
Yes, I think we saw pictures of flooded tunnels and so forth.
Yeah, and it was just so shocking for us as New Yorkers. And I had heard that New York was vulnerable before, but I didn't really, I'd always thought, oh, but we're invincible. We're New York, you know. We thought we were fine. I thought we were fine. And so when that happened, it just really hit me in the gut, and I had this sudden understanding in my body about how vulnerable we were, and just how fleeting it all is. And I realized that it was entirely possible that New York City could be gone in my lifetime, you know, that we might have to abandon the city due to sea level rise. And I had this image in my head that just kept, I kept on working on this image, and it was stayed with me for about 9 months of a little artist running around New York City trying to make ends meet, you know, trying to make enough money to buy the daily bread and food to survive, and then the city's just sinking beneath her feet. And I had been working on another project about survival, and that was the image that kept on coming into my head, and I kept on trying to work this image into that other piece. It was a multidisciplinary performance event that I was directing with a video artist, a composer, a dancer, and an actor. And then I was in Maine about 9 months after Sandy hit. I was in Maine, and I was working on this other project, and I just was so struck by the tidal shift in Maine, because it was about a 10.5-foot shift, which is actually very similar to what is here in the Manukau Harbor here in New Zealand, in Aotearoa. And the environment just changed completely every day. 2 times a day, it would go from this mud flat to this beautiful blue bay of water. And I could not stop watching it. I just stared at it. And I watched the water. One day, I watched the water rise very slowly over a big boulder over the course of about 30 minutes. And I just watched the whole thing. It was like so suspenseful and so interesting to me. And I just had this image of a person, of a human standing in the water for a full tidal cycle. And I thought, okay, who can I convince to stand in the water for me for a full tidal cycle while I create this image from the shore? And then very quickly realized that there was nobody who was going to actually do that for me. And so if I wanted
Except
to make
yourself.
Images, I had to do it myself. Yes, which was very upsetting because but it was important. You know, it was one of those things I was used to. You know, before this, I was really a director since college or just after college. I hadn't actually performed myself. I had been just mostly directing people in other things and making interdisciplinary work. But this was a thing that I unfortunately or fortunately felt like had to be done. And so if I wanted to make it happen, I had to do it myself.
So the first of these events, you stood there for something over 12 hours while the tide rose and then fell, and the whole was videotaped. And those videotapes of now seven performances make up this growing body of work, which is at one level meditative, but the other, it must also be hugely physically demanding upon you.
Yeah, it's a real struggle. It's really hard. And that's part of the point. That's actually kind of the main point for me, is that we as humans, as we are facing these challenges with climate change, it will be a struggle, and to survive. And how are we going to do that? What are we going to do? And so it's actually putting myself purposely into this uncomfortable situation. Now with coronavirus, it's interesting. We're kind of realizing our vulnerability as humans. But often, our societies have grown to be so comfortable, and we really, I believe, we really need to kind of change our ways and pay more attention to the water. So, and listen to it and respect it.
Now, what do you look for in locations to put on one of these performances and record? Are you looking specifically at, obviously, the tidal fluctuations important, but how about other pictorial elements in the scene?
Yeah. I mean, there's actually a lot of criteria that's involved. It's funny, the first time I did it in Maine, it was really this poetic, impulsive response, and I literally had the idea on a Monday and I executed on a Thursday, and I didn't know if I would be able to make it through, but now, because I've been doing it since 2013, it's grown slowly into a much more complex work that where I do a lot of research, I do a lot of community engagement, and so it has become a socially engaged work that has as much to do with the community who is on that site as it does with the actual physicality of the space, the site that I'm working in.
I've noticed that on some occasions you invite people to join you in the water and stay for as long as they wish.
Yes. If you were in over here, I would say you must come stand with me. That began after the first one in Mexico and San Francisco. As I was sort of developing the work, I began playing with this idea of inviting the public to stand with me for however long they want, and that has stayed with. That stayed in the concept of the piece. So I invite everyone to come out for however long they feel, and I encourage them to stay a little longer than what they're actually comfortable with. And I've noticed that I really believe that putting or giving yourself the space to have this embodied experience with the water where you stand and you listen to it, and both as an individual and then in this collective community that we become on the day of the performance, the experience of standing in the water with me is really important. I think because what I'm trying to do is turn a very abstract idea about the future or what can feel abstract to many people about what might happen in the future in relationship to sea level rise and climate change, and turn that into an embodied experience. And I know, you know, several people from all over the world, fishermen in Bangladesh, street poets in Brazil. Older water managers from the Netherlands have all told me that they have stood with me in the water, and despite, you know, working with the water every day, they saw it with new eyes because of they maybe perhaps because they aren't used to being still and standing still with the water. And I think there's something about this individual and collective experience, and that's really what I'm looking at is what is it, what, how I'm investigating vulnerability and resilience on an individual scale, and then on a collective humanity scale, and on as a species, you know, thinking about what are, how can we reconfigure our relationship.
You're listening to Arts Alive, and I'm speaking with New York performance artist Sarah Cameron Sundy in Auckland, where she's preparing for the 8th in a series of events called 36.5, a durational performance with the sea, to be staged in Manukau Harbour, a large, shallow harbour immediately west of Auckland City. Now some music. From the suite The Sea, composed by Frank Bridge, here is Seafoam, from the Ulster Orchestra, conducted by Vernon Handley. Seafoam by Frank Bridge. Now we return to my conversation with US performance artist Sarah Cameron Sundy in Auckland. Now
with
it seems
water.
To me from what you're saying that the real experience, the real audience participation is on site, and the video recording, while it's an important record, has got a separate life, it is a separate entity to the performance work itself. So can you relate the two together? Because I looked at your one performance work for about half an hour, but did not I was not able to enter into the type of experience that you've just described.
Yeah. I mean, I'm attempting with the video work to give as close of an experience as possible live, but I think you can never substitute a live experience for a video work. I do, and I hope, I'm glad to hear that you stayed with it for half an hour. My goal is that people will sit with it for long enough so that it some of those complexities come out, But I really do, yeah, I actually didn't, so I began the video works as a sort of separate autonomous piece of the project when I worked in the North Sea in the Netherlands in 2015. And I realized, because I realized that I really wanted to, it was such a powerful experience for the people who were experiencing it live, that I wanted to be able to have more impact. And I worked really hard to figure out how to do that. And now I really think of the video work and the performance work as totally separate works, but equal. And they're both created on the same day. So it's like a really intense, it's an intense thing, but one is not, does not get prioritized above the other, but both are incredibly important because one is serving and trying to share with people on the ground in a very real person-to-person way, and the other one is trying to connect with people all over the world, you know, in later, as a later form. And they're both so important to me.
Well, finally, two last questions for you, Sarah, Sarah Cameron Sunday. First, has anyone sat through the seven recorded works for their entire 12.5-hour duration each, to the best of your knowledge?
I have. although there's actually, so right now there's only, so the first three works did not, were all photo documentation and short form videos. And then the durational video work started in the Netherlands. And so there's four right now of the full 12 to 13 hour video works from the Netherlands, Bangladesh, Brazil, Kenya, and now New Zealand will be the fifth one, and then New York City will be the final one. And I don't think, no, they've never, they, except for me, probably no one's actually sat through all of them, but that's my goal. And I think, you know, eventually I really want to show them all together in one huge space and be able to have people see them, experience them all together at the same time. The audio is actually created with that concept in mind. So there's different audio, a sound score made by my collaborator, Joshua Dumas. And it is created so that it can live separately with each work, but also live together in one space with the other works at the same time.
Well, finally, in 9 days' time from when we're speaking, you will be standing in Manukau Harbour, east of Auckland in New Zealand, for 12.5 hours. How's preparation going?
Oh, it's going okay. No, it's going great. It's been really, you know, it's, as with any site, entering it as a foreigner is always, has, there's so many beautiful things and there's so many complicated things that I'm trying to understand, the politics of the space and what is happening here. I'm working with some incredible collaborators, Emilia and Nettie are two amazing Maori women who have come on board and and actually Emilia is planning to stand with me for the whole time, and Nettie is, we're developing the sort of performance interventions that will happen on the shore. Local cinematographer Ian Powell is I'm working with him on capturing the video work, and there's Te Uru Gallery and AUT, the Auckland University of Technology, Janine and Andrew, everyone has just been so amazing here, and so I feel every day there's kind of a new adventure and a new question, especially in the face of the coronavirus. There's a lot of questions that are kind of throwing things into flux, but that's part of the work, and I actually really enjoy that part of it, that every day, you know, there's real questions that we're asking I'm trying to figure out, and that I'm so grateful that I have the time to make this work here. It's really a privilege.
Well, Sarah Cameron Sunday, U.S. performance artist who will be doing an immersion event, I suppose one should call it, in Manukau Harbour, east of Auckland, on March the 29th. Thanks very much for speaking to Arts Alive. And if you want to see some really big tidal variations around Broome in the northwest of Western Australia, the spring tide variation is about 10 metres.
Whoa! Oh, my gosh.
You'd need a stepladder if you're going to sit in that.
Yeah, definitely. I'll put it on my list. I know. I think there's a, yeah, I've learned so much about the tides, and they're so incredible that I think someday I'm going to have to go to all these places and check them out.
Sarah Cummins, Sunday, thanks very much for speaking to Arts Alive, and good wishes with the next performance.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.